for performing the Homa. Now please stand up and join our palms together, and reverently we invite Grandmaster to take the Dharma teaching seat. Now please be seated. Now let's join our palms reverently, and togetherly we invite Grandmaster to bestow Dharma teaching upon us. Homage to the Mao Liao Ming, to Master Sakya Zenkong, the 16th Dharma King Karmapa, the Master Dukden Darje. Homage to the three jewels represented on the altar. Simu, all masters, Dharma teachers, Dharma lecturers, Dharma educators, Dharma teaching assistants, all disciples, everybody watching over the internet, may all be well and auspicious. Today, the Kala Chakra Homa, I did it very quickly. It's just like the flowing water. Although the speed was very fast, but we did not miss anything. So the response from Kala Chakra was very thick, very heavy, very strong, and it was very fast and perfect, complete. So here we all reference, we pray to the Kala Chakra Buddha so that all the prayers of everyone would be fulfilled in completion and according to our wishes. Last night, we talked about what the Six Patriarchs was talking about in the Platform Sutra, about the realm of the empty space. This kind of realm is not easily comprehended. It's not easily understood, this realm that was talked about by the Six Patriarchs cannot be easily understood by most ordinary people. So Zen Buddhism actually is the realm of the great completion. So this Chinese Zen Buddhism also spread to the Western countries. But most Westerners know bits and pieces. They only know that the empty space has nothing and everything is empty. And that resulted in thinking, because at that era when the Chinese Zen came to the West, it became the hippies. So the realm of the hippies was influenced by the Chinese Zen Buddhism. and also, oh, and also the punks. So the hippies and the punks were influenced by the Chinese Zen. And the influence was that everything is like the empty space, everything is empty, nothing exists. So you don't need to live responsibly. So when we talk about going with the flow, with great self-mastery, they feel like they don't need to earn a living, they don't need to earn money, they don't care about their appearance or their outfit. Like today, I don't just wear haphazardly. This dragon vest is black. It was worn during the Kalachakra ceremony. There was a young disciple that made an offering of a dragon vest. And she told me that you have to wear it today. Definitely have to wear it. So today, inside, I wore another black one because you asked me to have to wear it today, so I wore it. But inside. But if there are five people offered the dragon vest, then I would wear five layers of them. So you see it, that I'm wearing it. So the thinking of the hippies was because the Zen Buddhism spread in bits and pieces. They only knew about that nothing exists, that everything is empty, that living is just going with the flow and they just let their hair grow, whether they shave it or you leave it like the head of the rooster, like my head now. And they pretty much go homeless, like the disciple that said last night that she did not know where she's coming from and where she's going. So they live on the streets. So they are very careless about their lives. So that's how the hippies were. So that's how it was misunderstood. So there are many different kinds of misunderstanding or misperception or misconception. So Zen Buddhism is a little bit like the mentally abnormal person. There was this joke that this mental patient was reading a book, and it was a very thick book. And when the book was opened, this mental patient was saying that this was a literary work that had won a Nobel Prize. And the second patient took it over and then took a look at the book, and there was no, nonsense words in it, so everything is very meaningful. And then the third patient, he felt that there are a lot of personalities. There's just too many names or personalities. And then so the head of the hospital asked, so who is taking my phone book? So this is misunderstanding or misconception. So the book is a phone book because it's very thick, so he thought it was chronicle. It's like a real important book, and of course there's no nonsense words because it's a phone book, and then of course there are a lot of personalities in it because there are a lot of lists of names. So that's the misconception. So you can't misconceive or misunderstand Zen, then it would be terrible. And what is the second misconception? There's another story. There is a cat that is catching a mouse, and the mouse is running all over, and the cat is chasing after the mouse. And the mouse is running into a... into a floral store, and then the cat also ran into it, and then the mouse holding a bunch of roses, and then the cat seeing that said, "Oh, you're proposing to me now on marriage?" So the cat mistook the intention of the mouse, because the mouse was raising a bunch of roses as a weapon to hit the cat. But the cat thought that the mouse is proposing to the cat. So the cat is interesting, isn't it? So that's also misunderstanding. Because in Zen, you can't misconceive or misunderstand it. Professor Zhu has said that you can't view the whole universe as the empty space. Because in this empty space, when the causes and conditions is ripe, then something would appear from the empty space. So when we studied in school, what we cannot see involve many dimensions. There are a lot of powers inside this empty space. So in empty space, there are the so-called atoms, the electrons. As soon as the causes and conditions congeal, then it would transform. So we can't refer to the empty space as empty. And so we can't just point to the emptiness, but of course we cannot point to the existence only, because as sentient beings, we cling to existence more than to emptiness. Like if you look at money, like the magicians, it can create the money. So if I want to learn magic tricks, all I wanted to learn is how to transform money. So if you learn magic tricks and you can create money, then please teach me. And it's real money, and not just taking out your own money, but you can somehow create money to you. So if you know how to do that, teach me. I don't know how to do that trick yet. So the empty space can generate power, can also generate forms or appearances, and there is attractions and light and power in the empty space, and also the so-called altar in the Tantric Buddhism. So what we call altar in Tantric Buddhism also exists in the empty space. And today we will talk about the altar of Hevajra, the chapter 3, which is Emptiness Within Great Bliss Exposition on Hevajra, the chapter 3. So what is altar? So this is the altar for the Homa, fire offering. And the main deity was Kalachakra. So in Tantrayana, when you buy a tanka, it's typically round inside and square on the outside. All the way to the center. And at the center, it's the altar for the main deity. And you need to recognize what kind of altar that is. Typically, it is square. So four walls on the four sides, four doors on the four sides. So one level, four doors, and it's round inside, and the main deity at the center is the one that you need to recognize. If he is Hevajra, then it's the form of Hevajra right in the center. Then that is the altar of Hevajra. So the Hevajra altar, we call it the palace. So it's like the palace of the royalty. So you can see it in the tanka. There is Hevajra, palace, Kalachakra, Vajrayogini, Padmasambhava, Kuan Yin, Bodhisattva, the Siddhatapatra palace, all different kinds. And all these palaces are considered as altar in Tantrayana. It's not the humanly palace, but it is the golden treasure palace that's manifested by Hevajra. So two Buddha disciples or two Buddha school often take trips or traveling, not like myself. Or when they take pictures or photographs, they had a lot of round squares, round lights. And they asked me, what kind of light is that? And I said, prajna, or wisdom light. Which means wisdom lights, prajna lights. Actually, that's the altar of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So, Yiru Leizang Temple in California, they just bought a new church, And when they were renovating, they took down the cross, and instead they hang a tanka, and they took pictures, and there are round lights that's white in the photographs. They never seen those before, and I said, that's prajna light, and that's altar. You enlarge it. if you don't believe it. So in your photograph, it's like a brown light. It's just like a dew. What is that? So you enlarge it. And inside, there are a lot of colors. And in the center, there is a deity, Buddha Bodhisattva, seated at the center. So I'm telling you, so this is the prajna light of the Buddhas or Bodhisattvas when they descended. And that's his altar. So who took the picture at the Yiru temple? Dharma brother Mu is here. Who took the picture? Someone took the picture. So they, in the pictures, there were wisdom lights. Look, so many people. So many. I never took pictures because I don't have a camera and I never took any photographs or pictures. You never see me holding a cell phone or a camera because I don't own a camera nor a cell phone. But look, so many people have taken pictures of the wisdom lights. It's just the white round light, and when you enlarge it inside, there's a deity inside. That's the descending of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. All these pictures were taken by the disciples of True Buddha School. So all your wishes are fulfilled. So you get what you pray for. It's very responsive. So we only say truthful words in True Buddha School. When you enlarge it, inside there's an altar. And at the center, it's the main deity. And just observe the main deity at the center, and that's the Buddha that descended. When I conduct a ceremony, someone took a picture toward the altar or to the space or to the assembly, and the whole ceremony is filled with the wisdom lights. Hundreds and thousands of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, they all descended. So the empty space is not nothing, because in the empty space there are so many Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and so many palaces and so many Buddhas seated in the prajna light. They're all descending and they were all in the pictures. Some are huge. It's bigger than Grandmaster's head. Some are small. So I'm telling you, the central channel, when it's small and compacted, then it's just like a thread. But when it's big, so when you visualize, when it's big, it's just like the empty space, just like the space. So the central channel can be visualized as big as the space or as small as a thread. The Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas are the same. When they're big, they fill the whole space. And when they are small, they are smaller than a grain of rice. So the altar or the Hevajra altar is the same. When it is big, it fills the whole space. Grandmaster have seen Hevajra altar. When Guru Marpa went to India and was studying Dharma at Naropa's place, Naropa manifested Hevajra's altar. It was beautiful. He could see it, Marpa could see it, and Sijun too, Grandmaster, could see it. So the altar is also called palace. We need to visualize the appearance of Hevajra, and then we need to visualize Hevajra altar, which is the altar in the space. So the so-called mandala in Tantrayana is the altar. Mandala is altar. What's drawn in the tankas is altar. When the Tibetans did the sand mandala, that's called the sand altar. Typically, when they are performing Kalachakra practice prior to invoking Kalachakra, they would make the sand mandala, and then they would be invoking Kalachakra to descend onto the sand mandala, which is the altar. That's their procedure, their ritual. So they would create a sand mandala. But tanka is the cloth mandala. And what we use in Dru Buddha's school is the mandala of the space that has the shape, the round shape. Have you been to Borobudur in Indonesia? Please raise your hand. There is Borobudur in Indonesia. Most, only the masters have been there. So, Borobudur in Indonesia. So, it is the altar for the five Dhyani Buddhas that's built on the ground. In Indonesia, there is Borobudur, and it's one of the seven ancient wonders. It's from the ancient time. One of the 10 magnificent wonders of the world. I've been to Bali. The Bali Island, a lot of people have been there. It's a tourist place. I've also been to Solo, Bengawan Solo. It's a place called Solo. And in Solo, there are also pagodas, a place of Buddhism. And then I've been to Surabaya. And then to Jakarta. And then from Jakarta to Bandung. So I've been to several places in Indonesia when I was spreading Buddha Dharma there. I've been to Borobudur. And I was circumambulating in Borobudur clockwise, from the top to the bottom, until I got so tan from the sun. And I can only speak Indonesian like this. It's very easy to remember.
Selamat pagi.
Selamat pagi.
Selamat malam.
Selamat malam.
Selamat pagi.
Selamat pagi is, do you know what it means? It means good morning. And selamat malam is good night. Terima kasih. It's thank you. I only know these few words. It's very easy to remember. Selamat, it means, it sounds like in Chinese, like, are you dead? Are you dead? And thank you is also easy to remember. So, I hit you and I hit you and scold you till you're dead. It's very easy to remember. It sounds like that in Chinese. So in Indonesia, there is Borobudur, and this is mandala that was built on earth, on the great earth. The altar, the mandala of the five Dhyani Buddha on earth. It must have been built by the Indians that went there. It was said that it was between the 8th and the 9th centuries. It was built by the Sulendra, the Sriwijaya kingdom. Because in Indonesia, there was Buddhism and Hinduism. So in Indonesia, they still maintain this complete mandala. If you have a chance to go to Indonesia, that mandala was really beautiful. So this Borobudur is 35 meters tall. And 110 meters length. For the square. So it covers a lot of ground. So mandala can be as big as that. So to symbolize the greatness and the magnificence of the mandala. So when it's small, it can be as small as a drop of light. When it's big, it's really huge. So the empty space when it's small is as small as this. And when it's big, it's limitless, infinite. So the Hevajra altar, you know, when I was expounding on the exposition of the tantric stage development stages, it started from the mandala. When Tsongkhapa wrote this exposition on the tantric development stages of practice, he always started talking on each point from the mandala. Because mandala has its, you know, its element, its forms, its symbols, the meanings, and why is there this mandala or this altar? So let's use the simplest way, because Hevajra altar, it would take a whole book to expound on it. But the simplest way is rectangular shape on the outside. It's built of gold and four doors in the four directions, north, south, east, and west. When Grandmaster was conducting the Kalachakra ceremony in Singapore or in Malaysia, or in Taiwan, they built the Kalachakra altar. On the outside, it's rectangular, and inside, it's round. Kalachakra altar, and Grandmaster is seated at the center to symbolize that Grandmaster unite with Kalachakra.
You know,
So the Tibetans, when they build a sand mandala, they use all different colors. And the wisdom light that you took, the picture of the wisdom light, if you enlarge it, you can see a lot of colors inside. Let me tell you something that you don't know. We all think that the space is white. So go outside and take a look at the space. It's blue, and that's because of the reflection of the dust. But its original color is white. It's transparent white. If you take that chromatic, a prism, you know, that around with many different colors, but if you turn it very fast, then it look white. It become white. And then you take one of the color, just take one of the color away, and then you turn it, then it would become black. So many different colors. When all the colors are complete, and then you turn it very fast, then it would become white. So the space can also generate many different colors. So our mandalas are created using many different colors. And the mandalas of the Tibetans, some of them are these long banners like this. Or the flowers. Incense. Perfume scents, lamps, or perfumes, treasure wastes, treasures and jewels, and the Dharma wheels. That's the eight auspicious items. So you use these items to decorate the palace. The flower symbolizes what? The flower symbolizes so that all people, all sentient beings would generate love and respect toward the mandala. That's flower. And incense symbolizes purity. That everything is pure, all Dharma is pure, all the space is pure. And the lamp symbolizes radiance, that the mandala symbolizes radiance. And the perfume symbolizes the Dharma taste. That the Hevajra Dharma is filled with wonderful taste, just like the perfume, because perfume is very fragrant. And the jewels or the treasures would symbolize the true jewels of the universe. That's Dharma. That's the Dharma wheel, and the true treasures or jewels are the most precious treasure or jewels. Like today, Grand Master is wearing this new ring. It's white and small diamonds, and in the middle, there's this yellow, it looked like a 5-carat yellow diamond, but it's not, it's just a rock.
It's a stone.
It's a rock. It's a stone. It's a precious stone that was offered by Xiao Cui and her husband, William, from California. And they're there. So today I'm wearing yours, and tomorrow I won't anymore. I will wear them. If you made offering to me, I would wear them to symbolize that I like them. And tomorrow when I don't wear them, it's not that I don't like them, but I just store them, keep them. It's impossible for this to be diamond. So 5 carats yellow diamond, that's a lot of money, right? But if it's a white gold, it should be heavy, but this is very light. There's a Dharma sister who is a jeweler at the Redmond Town Center. You can find her there at the Redmond Town Center if you need to buy precious stones or diamonds or jewelries, and she would give you discount, and it should be real ones, not the fake ones. I'm giving advertisement for her here. So at the Redmond Town Center, there's a jeweler there, jewelry store. It's owned by our disciple. And there's this talisman right there that I painted. That's the one. So if you go there to buy jewelry, she would give you a bit discount, a little bit of discount. If she asks you for a lot of money, then tell me. She just gain a little bit of profit and would give you discount. At the Redmond Town Center, that's our Dharma sister. And her business is still good. There's no need for ad. For advertisement. And the Dharma wheel symbolizes its descending, which is the turning of the wheel. So the empty space, although there is no need to talk about the Dharma, there is Dharma wheel descending. So there are so many meanings contained in the mandala. So these things that we're talking about are things that are used as decoration in the mandala. And in the center the main deity is Hevajra. So when you create the Hevajra altar or Kalachakra or the thousand eyes, thousand arms, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva or Vajrayogini, 大吉祥天 or the Sri Devi, each one of them has his or her own palace. And this long banners, flower, incense, lamp, perfume, treasure vase, and jewels, and the Dharma wheels. They are the eight auspicious items. So typically when they decorate the palace, they use these eight auspicious items. So this Prajna light, it's like a round white light, and it seems blurry white, but if you enlarge it, it's colorful, and inside, at the center, there is the main deity. So whoever the deity is, that's the mandala of that deity. So it's been taken most by Tubuddha school's disciples. I've never heard it in any other schools. But there are so many of these Prajna lights in Tubuddha school. So all the same, when you do your tantric practice, you can also have these pictures taken. So if you have your pictures taken, you can also see it in your pictures. So this is the wonder, the most wonderful thing about Tubuddha school. So today, there would be Kalachakra empowerments. Of course, it includes the nine stage meditation empowerment and the shield empowerment, Kalachakra Purba empowerment, and the Kalachakra practice empowerment. And prior to receiving the empowerment, form the Kalachakra Mudra, this mudra. Form this mudra. And recite the Kalachakra Mantra. And you can visualize Kalachakra is seated on top of your head. And then you walk past it. So you're mindful of Kalachakra. And your hands are forming Kalachakra Mudra. And your mouth is reciting Om Ha Kamala Valaya Soha. Or you can also recite it by heart, in your heart. Once you receive this empowerment, so if you have passed through it three times, then all the karma will be eradicated. As long as you maintain a strong faith in Kalachakra and never waver, but if you can recite the mantra, you will definitely become a Buddha in seven lifetimes. We pray that all who receive the Kalachakra empowerments will, through this color, this empowerment this time, can eradicate all the karma that manifests in sicknesses and illnesses, and that all our wishes can be fulfilled, and all the spirits who register can rise to the pure lands, and can increase wisdom and our merits, and we live in harmony and respect, and all enemies and resentments be gone, and we can increase our wisdom and fortune, and eradicate all calamities. Om Mani Padme Hum.
我们再以热烈的掌声感谢师尊。Now
let's give a warm round of applause for this wonderful and precious Dharma teaching.
恭请师尊为大众做十轮金刚法。Now
we reverently invite Grandmaster to confer Kalachakra empowerments for the Kalachakra practice, Kalachakra shield practice, Kalachakra fulbra practice, practice and the nine states meditation practice. During the empowerment,
We
appreciate your help in bringing your seats backward.
请先把箱子推到两边。
And please remember to return your receivers. Thank you.
请把黑色的圆凳子分开，有靠背的椅子放在后面叠好。请你们把黑色的圆凳子和铁的圆凳子是放在四方的木箱里，然后有靠背的椅子是放在这边后面。啊，灌顶哦，一次就已经代表了三次。 因为有三个番，请大家注意一下，就是过一次就可以了，里面有包括有三个番。